Moncrief on News Talk.
You are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. 087-1400-106 is our WhatsApp number. Joanna Fortune joins us once again. Afternoon, Joanna.
Afternoon, Sean.
First question is this. Our child has very big reactions to being asked to do household chores spontaneously. He recently underwent an assessment of need, which found he would benefit from some occupational therapy, part of which can be helpful in managing household chores. If he's asked to empty half a dishwasher, he's fine, but it's the full thing. He feels overwhelmed. My husband is frustrated by this and has become annoyed about it towards our son, but I'm trying to see it through the prism of the findings of the AON and meet my son where he's at right now. It causes clashes with myself and my husband, and I don't want to referee my husband and my son when they clash over this. Whilst we're awaiting OT supports, how's best to deal with this?
I mean, this is just, there's a lot there because this is about a dynamic between father and son as much as it is about assessment of need. We don't know how old this child is either.
Yes.
So that's one of the questions I would have back. And have chores ever been a part of this child's life to this point? You know, because if, you know, depending on the age he is, but I mean, if you're waiting and there's issues like this, likely, I'm going to say, somewhere between kind of 7 and 11-ish, you're looking at that's, they're not going to high-five you, Sean, when you start saying, about the dishwasher, how do you feel about that? And particularly because there's some kind of a pressure in this around, he needs to empty the dishwasher because it's part of the assessment of need. When, you know, maybe there, you need to come at this in a more flexible way and it doesn't have to be the dishwasher, but can he do something else? Could you give, for example, a list of two or three chores? That's enough, no more than that. And say, which of those do you want to do this week? You will be doing one. So which is your one for the week? Okay, great. Great choice. You go do that.
Okay.
So he feels a little bit more control. I do think it's important that they talk to this little boy as well, however old he is, about the OT assessment and about the report and the outcomes, you know, about the assessment of need, and say, do you remember you met with whoever and they asked you questions or you did some activities with them? Well, one of the things that they found out, really interesting stuff about you, and it includes that you might need some extra help with this or this. And a fun way to do that is that we can do it at home. We don't just have to go in and meet with the occupational therapist. One of the ways we're going to do that is things like chores, because when we're doing the dishwasher, you know, you're bending and stretching and there's a lot of, you know, fine motor stuff going on. But I also think, I don't know, Sean, how you feel about emptying the dishwasher, but I rarely do it with a fun mindset. You know, I'm not coming at it going, how much fun could I have today? Let's open the dishwasher and have at it. So I think you've got to make it more fun. Maybe be alongside him in the kitchen, having a chat, singing a song, playing the radio or a playlist he likes. Just creating a little bit more of a playful atmosphere around it, because it's sounding like a battlefield.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering about the husband's frustration as well. Is he frustrated with the son's behaviour? Or is he frustrated because the assessment of need has brought up a diagnosis that he's struggling?
Or all of the above.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's okay as well, you know, because it sounds like this outcome is quite recent because they're still waiting on the intervention that the report has recommended. So it might be that as parents, you sit and you think about, what does this mean? And, you know, I do want the frustrated husband to also realize, don't be frustrated just because he won't empty the dishwasher. The dishwasher is not going to cure whatever was in the report.
Yeah.
It's there to support the development of skills that your son is otherwise struggling to develop, but it's not going to be. So come up with another way. The other thing is, if he's never done chores before with this, I would probably approach it because he seems happy enough to empty half the dishwasher, but not the full. So there's a little bit of a control thing going
on. Maybe like the bending down for the bottom
bit. He's like, well, that's not fair. I'm not doing it at all. But meet him there. Ask him to do half the dishwasher. Call him when the first half is done. And then gradually, slowly over time, he can do two thirds of it. And then he can do the full thing. If you're looking at this from a therapeutic lens, I would go, do not start at the path of greatest resistance. You know, let's go. If he's happy to do half of it and that's going to be good for him, do half of it and build from there. But I just think they all need time to digest whatever the report has included.
Yeah. If the reporter was saying occupational therapy, does that necessarily have to be a chore?
Absolutely not. I mean, the occupational therapist will have so many ways. It again depends on what's in the report, but they'll have activities. They'll have, you know, they'll come up with, if it's sensory, a kind of sensory diet. You know, these are things that are going to feed your nervous system. These are things you need to do in the morning, afternoon and evening. But they're very often, if not always, playful things.
Yes.
So
yeah.
that it's actually supposed to be fun. And it really does need to be fun to get it done. Like it yeah. really does. Because otherwise, you know, you're asking a child, oh, here, I've got to do those exercises. That doesn't sound nearly as fun as activities.
Yeah. So it could be like there's almost like two issues here.
I would suspect
there
is. It's
chores parallel to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just think, you know, don't make it all about the dishwasher because it isn't all about the dishwasher.
Yeah. My daughter is only 6 and is making very worrying comments in regards to her body image and weight. She asked me the other day why I had a fat tummy and constantly worries about how she looks and how she will look to others. She agonizes over her clothes when we are going to any event. She's going to a birthday party, etc. She has called herself ugly. I really don't know where she's got this from, and I'm very conscious to never talk about body shape, diets, good or bad foods, and none of the adults she would be around, her dad, her auntie, her nanny, would speak to her like this either. I corrected her about the term fat tummy and explained that tummies come in all sorts of different shapes and sizes, and I grew her and her brother in mine, and of course told her she wasn't ugly and nobody is ugly, but it doesn't seem to sink in. I'm not even sure I handle that properly.
I think you handled it pretty well, but yeah. I suppose the correcting her about the term fat is something we just need to be mindful of, that fat is a body shape. And I say that knowing, Sean, because I grew up with it, that fat was a negative word, but we have to take control of that and try and reframe it. That, yeah, fat tummy, all tummies are different shapes and sizes, and this is the way mine looks. And I'm so proud of my tummy because it grew you and your brother. And, you know, my tummy loves food and it likes to give my body a hug. And you can be all of that with her. She's 6.
Yeah.
So be very mindful of that. And I hear this parent and saying, you know, I don't talk about body shapes or diets in front of her, but you'd be amazed at what little kids I work with then come in and play out.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So even parents who are so mindful about their words, be equally mindful about your actions. If you ever look at yourself in the mirror and do,
yeah.
Or
yeah.
you pat your tummy or look sideways and suck in. You haven't said anything, but you've said so much. And these little people are watching and they're soaking it all in and they're mirroring and they're confusing. So I don't say that to blame this parent and say you clearly did something, because it may not be that, but don't be so certain that there's no way, because we can equally take all of what I've just said there and we can take control and go, make sure she sees me giving myself a high five in the mirror. Mm. Make sure she sees me going, God, I look great today. Oh, I'm really loving the way I feel in my body. My body is doing so much for me. You can also mindfully, consciously start talking like that and she's going to see it. One of the things I would also watch is be very aware of who or what she might be watching on TV or online.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's some of those shows that are marketed for kids. And if you really sit down, and I always recommend you do, if your child is watching a show, watch one episode with them. You don't have to watch them all, but watch one episode. It gives you a good insight into the kind of language, the way the characters speak. And a number of things are banned in my house, I'll be honest with you, because I'm like, oh no, no, we don't talk about bodies like that. That is not going to happen. So just go and see what might she be viewing or watching. And it can seem really innocent. You can have all the parental control set in the world and there can still be just troublesome language in shows and influences like that. And equally get curious about what her pals might be watching, because all it takes is a little pal to come in who maybe has a looser boundary around that, or older siblings that are watching shows that are suitable for them, but around a younger child that it's not suitable for. And they might be coming in and saying things, commenting on bodies, and she could be soaking it up. So the influence is not always inside. And what we have to be aware of as parents is we're not the only influence on our children, but we do need to be their main influencer. So you have to be mindful she's going to get conflicting messages, and you've got to keep the balance in your favour by upping the positive conversation at home and model all of that body positivity. I think they're doing quite a lot of that already. But talk about what bodies do much more than what they look like. I mean, the Winter Olympics is on at the moment. It is an amazing opportunity to watch something and say, can you believe what the human body is capable of? Look at, somebody can jump in the air and spin around 4 times and still land on their feet. That's incredible. And there's really lovely opportunities to kind of celebrate bodies with that. And there are books, I often mention Tyler Federer's Bodies Are Cool, because every body type known will be in there. Karen Beaumont has a book, I Like Myself. I immediately want to go, I like myself, I like being me. There's no one else I'd rather be. I know that book by heart, okay? But it is gorgeous. And it is about a little girl who has crazy hair. And she's a little bit chaotic and messy, but she's only delighted with herself. And it's a celebration of that. And it's beautifully done in a rhyme. And there's a book that's much more of a interactive, kind of a workbooky feel to it. But it's a book as well by Poppy O'Neill. There's a series, actually, of these. But one of them is called I Like Being Me. And the reason I'm mentioning I Like Myself and I Like Being Me is I think at six, and this narrative is already there, I would just want to really plow into self-esteem. And just make sure she really knows it's that how she is about how she behaves, how she's feeling, that it's her from the inside out. And, it, you know, it's time. I think she's letting you know she needs a top up of that stuff.
Yeah, because it just strikes me that agonizing over clothes and calling yourself ugly, that sounds like a teenager.
Very much so. Very much so.
And maybe there's an influence there someplace.
That's why that came up for me, honestly, was, you know, is she hearing or seeing something? And, you know, it could be one TV show that seems fine.
Yeah.
There's a particular storyline in it or a character going through a particular crisis. And unless she's going to watch it right the way through to its resolution, she's picking up all of that negative resonance on its way. So I would be really mindful of that stuff.
Next question. Oh, also a clothes-related question. Our three-year-old daughter goes through more costume changes in a day than Cher does on an entire live tour. It's gotten to the point now that my husband doesn't even bother trying to dress her in the morning. We put her in her pajamas before bed, but she will guarantee be wearing a Cinderella costume or something like that when we go to wake her the following morning, along with a full hairband, clips, etc. We're worried about it because we feel that it may mean she lacks certainty about her decisions. Also, on a practical level, it's leading to enormous amounts of laundry because she's going through so many outfits per day. When we tell her she cannot change her clothes again, she has a major tantrum. How do we get her to self-regulate in this area? Actually, she sounds great.
She sounds a howl.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm like, is she getting up during the night and taking off pajamas and putting on an entire rig out? I mean, and then she's lying back on the bed. And they see that, don't they? The princesses in the stories, they're lying on their beds in full gowns. So I think life is one big role play for this kid.
Yeah.
A big game of dress up. She's three. So this whole concern about she's lacking certainty about her decisions, put that out of your head. Like, not a thing.
Yeah.
Not a thing for three-year-olds. None of them are certain. Well, they can be really certain about what they're not going to eat for you. But in this regard, this is play. Mm. This is very much, she sounds like she has a really rich imagination. And it's very active because the play she's doing is actually beyond what I'd expect a three-year-old to be doing. They all love costumes and that kind of stuff, but she's really into dressing up, changing and kind of checking herself out and, you know, being in role for a lot of this. So I would differentiate with her for the laundry issue alone between these are your day clothes and you get one of them per day.
Mm.
And these are your play dress-up clothes and go wild.
Yeah.
Because we're not washing those every day.
Yeah.
None of us do.
Yeah.
Okay. So the costume.
A lot of those things fall apart if you put them in a washing machine anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you Febreze them and you move on. You know. But let her know that she can change her clothes into those things. But this other stuff is one a day. Mm. And I suppose that's the beginning of a boundary, if nothing else. Because it sounds like she's putting on like her own clothes as well many times. I also think get curious about just observing her. When she's changing her clothes, is she changing who she is and how she is?
Yeah.
Or is there another reason for this? Because I don't think there is anything, but I always think when kids are constantly changing their clothes, just be tag aware. Is it that, I'm not feeling comfortable, there's tags on these things and I keep changing till I find the thing that feels comfortable. Now, I don't think there's a lot of that in this letter, but just when kids are changing their clothes a lot, just be mindful of that. This does sound much more like a three-year-old who is just living her best life, having a wardrobe that she's well able to access. That's another thing that's striking me because she's not asking someone else to put these clothes on her.
Mm.
She's quite able to do it.
Well, that's good. Developmentally, that's great.
Absolutely. Yeah. Look at us positive reframing. It is. But I understand as well that, you know, parents are kind of going, hang on a second, this is out of control. It's not really.
Yeah.
But you can put a boundary on it. When you say, how do we get her to self-regulate? Absolutely, just like the certainty thing, put that out of your head. She is not going to self-regulate at 3 years old or four or five or six. And in and around seven, you're going to see the beginning of self-regulation and signs to do so. Right now, she's just impulsive. She's, you know, in the moment. She's in her feelings. Her feelings are really big. You're seeing that because you're saying that she has a massive tantrum. And again, so what?
Yeah.
If you're saying no and she has a tantrum, you just go, oh, really big feelings about that. But it's one per day and you've had your one. Now, take a moment and then we're going to go and read a book. We're going to make a jigsaw. We're going to build blocks and redirect and distract her. That's co-regulation in action. Don't make everything she's doing here a battle because you and she will be exhausted.
Yeah.
She will grow out of this.
Yeah. Joanna Fortune, thanks a million. And your tiara looks fantastic today as
always
well.
Always have it on.
Yeah, always have it on.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.